from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla says the presence of foreign lecturers to improve the quality of domestic lectures at state university. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya says it can lower staple food price. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalot Mane. Presidential regulation on foreign workers enables foreign lecturers to lecture at state universities in Indonesia. In response, Rector of University of Gajah Mada, UGM, Panut Mulyono, stated that UGM is ready to involve foreign lecturers in his institution to improve the quality of education in Indonesia. After meeting Vice President Yusuf Kalla at the Vice President's office in Jakarta on Thursday, Panut Mulyono disclosed that foreign lecturers' policy is to enter the state university as a catalyst to encourage the competence and quality of the local lecturers by learning from foreign lecturers and establishing educational network with other foreign teachers. The foreign lecturers are also expected to improve the quality of research and technology at the university level in the country.
Sebetulnya keberadaan dosen asing.
So, in fact, the presence of foreign lecturers is now used as a catalyst, as our incentive. So we can also advance faster. The main goal is how the foreign lecturers in Indonesia can bring their networks abroad, and they can join to enliven research in Indonesia. Rector Panut Mulyono further explained that foreign lecturers at state universities will be limited in accordance with the needs of the universities. He views that foreign lecturers can open networks of science and funding from abroad. If there are research projects and technologies that require foreign assistance, he gives an example of East Kalimantan with methanol factory. 85% of the fund derives from foreign capital, but 100% of his workers are local experts who can run well. Vice President Yusuf Kalla and Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto had a meeting on Thursday to discuss matters related to electronic trade or e-commerce development. Minister Hartarto stated at the office of Muhammadiyah, as Indonesia's second largest Muslim organization in Jakarta on Thursday, that Vice President Yusuf Kalla has just met with some ministers to discuss the roadmap of e-commerce. Minister Hartarto also noted that the meeting with Vice President Yusuf Kalla was to discuss tax imposition for electronic commerce by 0.5%. This taxation will be applied to business entities and have the clarification of small and medium enterprises. The small and medium enterprises will be given 3 years before finally following the applicable taxation. Minister Hartarto also explained that this will be delivered by Minister of Finance. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi said in Jakarta on Thursday that the C-Toll program could lower the price of staple food in eastern Indonesia. He also stated that the price will be 20 to 30% cheaper. Minister Budi views that with the C-Toll program, the costs of transporting goods will be cheaper. Therefore, the price disparity of goods between the western and eastern parts of Indonesia can be lowered. However, Minister Budi underlined that the price reduction can only be achieved if the goods shipment is carried out through large ports by using the vessels of Indonesian national lines. He further said that there is a dilemma about the small ports. Thus, he said, encouraged the pioneer vessels to operate. Governor of Jakarta Anies Baswedan said on Thursday that Mass Rapid Transit MRT system would inculcate the habit and culture of using public transportation among the people. He hopes that MRT will be the interaction media between Jakarta residents and the surrounding areas. He also expects that this mode of transportation will create a culture of quiz and punctuality besides cleaning habits. He took a look at the two sets of MRT railway cycles at the MRT station in Lebak Bulus, South Jakarta. The governor expects the MRT project will be completed in a timely manner so that people can use the public transportation immediately. He added that the Jakarta MRT would be a melting pot because it would be used by all sections of the society. He also pointed out that priority seating would be made available to the disabled and pregnant or elderly women in the MRT. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. East Nusa Tenggara has over investment opportunities in salt and seaweed production during a trilateral meeting in Fulfik, Indonesia, Australia and Timor-Leste, held in Labuan Bajo, West Manggarai District, Flores Island, on Thursday. The province hoped the two neighboring countries would be interested in investing in those marine products. Head of the East Nusa Tenggara Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Office, Ganep Wurgianto, stated that the province has a total of 60,000 hectares for salt farming and 50,870 hectares for seaweed cultivation. Seaweed production can be found in the districts of Kupang, Sabu Raijua, Rotendao, Alor, Lembata, East Flores, Sika, East Sumba, and West Manggarai. Seaweed of the Uchema cottoni and Gracilaria species are mainly cultivated in those regions. East Nusa Tenggara, which shares its borders with Australia and Timor-Leste, is optimistic that the two neighboring countries would show interest in investing in the province. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Archanda Tahar, has encouraged Norway to invest in Indonesia's new and renewable energy ABT sector. While opening the Indonesia-Norway Energy Workshop in Jakarta on Thursday, he stated that his ministry has to work hard to increase the share of renewable energy used at affordable prices, and it has set an ambitious target to provide 23% of the energy mix from renewable energy by 2025. He also noted that the trend of energy use in the world has begun to shift from fossil energy sources to new and renewable energy sources. In line with this, the government of Indonesia, through the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, expressed its seriousness in the development of the new and renewable energy. The ministry demonstrated its commitment by targeting 23% of new and renewable energy in its energy mix for power plants by 2025. To achieve the 23% target is not something easy, as it needs strong efforts and assistance from investors both at home and abroad. Indonesia and China have agreed to develop a high-temperature gas-cooled reactor, HTGR. The agreement was signed by Indonesian Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, and China's Minister of Science and Technology, Wang Jiang, in Beijing, China, on Thursday. The signing was done on the sidelines of the Declaration of 2018 ASEAN-China Innovation Year and the China-ASEAN Innovation Forum. Besides Indonesia, China also agreed to develop a railway system research center with Thailand and development of a new and renewable energy laboratory with Laos and the development of radar and communication satellites with Myanmar. China has collaborated on science and technology projects with 158 countries and regions and is involved in 200 international scientific and technological organizations, according to local media. Minister Wang said that his ministry continues to support the openness and cooperation of science and technology innovation more broadly and deeply. That was the news.
From across the country, unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Relocation Plan of Rohingya Ethnic Refugees. Bangladesh plans to move around 100,000 Rohingyas to a remote island starting on June 2018. The plan was presented by the Bangladeshi Secretary of Disaster Management to the UN in Dhaka on Wednesday. This is an effort of Bangladesh to relocate the Rohingyas who are currently crowding the Cox's Bazar area. The place has become a temporary shelter for refugees who fled from Myanmar after the conflict in 2017. Bangladesh doubts Myanmar promise that it will take back the Rohingya ethnic as the country only verifies about 300 of the 1,000 of refugees files. Myanmar argues that in the files there are three people related to terrorism. With the placement, Bangladesh has to accommodate 700,000 refugees around the border. The relocation plan is considered to have not resolved the problem. Currently, Rohingyas are living in a very unfit environment in refugee camps. Meanwhile, the Bangladeshi Navy have planned to build around 1,400 shelters ready to be lived in by the end of May. The relocation itself is carried out on a voluntary basis. In Cox's Bazar, their life is difficult because of disease front, especially facing the rainy season next June. But their placement on the island is also not without problems. The place to be inhabited is known to be prone to tropical cyclone disaster. Early in February, Myanmar agreed to take back 6,000 Rohingya refugees in the no man's area of Tambru. Bangladesh argues that those in the region have not been considered refugees and Myanmar agrees to repatriate them. But it remains agreement. There is no guarantee of the security and the Rohingyas are still afraid of returning. The Rohingya ethnic shouldn't be replaced and lived for long in a such uninhabitable place like now. It is also not fitting to let their fate in an uncertain situation. Indonesia has been very concerned about their fate and has provided humanitarian assistance. President Joko Widodo also had a direct view of their condition when making a visit to Bangladesh some time ago. Now all of that needs to be done is to keep the refugees repatriation process going on. Myanmar should also be willing to open up and provide security for the returning refugees ethnic as well as giving them the rights as a citizens. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on April 13, 1975, the beginning of civil war in Lebanon. On April 13, 1975, the civil war in Lebanon occurred with the existence of an extreme group of Christians attacking a Falangist bus carrying Palestinians and killing 30 people. On the consequences of this attack, the Muslims and the Lebanese nationalists rise up against the Falangist group. Shortly following the group's attack on the Palestinian refugees camp in Lebanon, the Palestinians also jumped in that war. The civil war is actually provoked by the Zionist regime Israel with the aim of making the Muslims of Lebanon and the Palestinians are distracted from the Zionist regime. The civil war in Lebanon ended in 1999 with the signing the Taif Agreement by the rival parties. Now, an event which occurred on April 13, 1997, Tiger Woods became the youngest golf player in history who won the Masters tournament. Tiger Woods was a fantastic winning golfer. On April 13, 1997, Tiger Woods won the tournament Masters at the age of 21 years and became the youngest champion in history. He also won four major titles in a row, starting from US Open 2000 until Masters 2001 Championship. This event was called Tiger Slam because it was not earned in a season. We end today's segment of Today in History with an accident which occurred on April 13, 2013. Lion Air crashed in Bali water. Lion Air plane crashed in the waters near Ngurah Rai Airport, Denpasar, Bali, ahead of landing on Saturday, April 13, 2013 at around 1500 hours Central Indonesia Standard Time, or WITA. The Boeing 737-800NG type aircraft was reported already approaching the airport runway, but falling into the waters and causing the fuselage is broken. The airport authority ensures all passengers were totaling 101 people and 7 crew members in a safe condition, even though there were some who suffered injuries. Ngurah Rai Airport was closed about an hour following the accident to ease the process of evacuation. The Boeing 737-800NG aircraft, which was used by Lion, was the new aircraft used by the airline since 2012. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome back to My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you the topic about Indonesia and Africa have great potential to develop. Indonesia and Africa have enormous potential to become strong partners in trade and investment cooperation. This was said by Vice President Yusuf Kalla when opening the Indonesia-Africa Forum IAF at Bali Nusa Dua Convention Center on Tuesday, April 10. According to Vice President Yusuf Kalla, this forum becomes important for both parties to enhance trade and economic cooperation. The development of cooperation with Africa is a priority of Indonesia's foreign policy. Vice President Yusuf Kalla asserted that, like Africa, Indonesia understands that infrastructure development is very important for rapid economic growth to be felt by the people. Cooperation between Indonesia and Africa has a bright future in the economic field, especially in the field of trade and investment. If Indonesia and Africa succeed in advancing the cooperation, they can show the world that cooperation among developing countries can also be done. With human capital, the industries in Indonesia and Africa are encouraged to move forward. Vice President Yusuf Kalla believes with more than 400 million working-class populations in Africa and Indonesia, as well as the productive population, the economic future of both countries is very bright. The Indonesia-Africa 2018 Forum, conducted by the Indonesian government, recorded a business deal worth $586.56 million between Indonesia and several African countries. The business deal reflects mutually beneficial concrete economic cooperation and marks the beginning of collaboration and cooperation to strengthen economic growth between Indonesia and Africa. The business agreement is rich in several agreements, among others, between Indonesia Exim Bank and the African Export-Import Bank. PT Wijaya Karya Wika and Chief of Cabinet of Niger, PT Timah and Top Ward Ventures, and Garuda Maintenance Facility, Aero Asia Max Air, and Ethiopian Airlines. Meanwhile, Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said that Indonesia will focus on trading with large populated African countries such as Nigeria and Kenya. It is intended to encourage Indonesian export to Africa. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said that the trade value between Indonesia and African countries is targeted to increase by 11% this year. To reach the target, the minister held a bilateral meeting with Morocco and Nigeria on the sidelines of the Indonesia-Africa Forum 2018 in Nusa Dua, Bali on Tuesday, April 10. The Indonesia-Africa Forum IAF is the first event held by the Indonesian government as a platform to encourage concrete economic cooperation between Indonesia and African countries. The forum is also in line with President Joko Widodo's encouragement for Indonesia to enter non-traditional market, especially Africa. That was today's My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Presidential regulation on foreign workers enables foreign lecturers to lecture at state university in Indonesia. In response, Rector of University of Gajah Mada, Panut Mulyono, stated that UGM is ready to involve foreign lecturers in his institution to improve the quality of education in Indonesia. Vice President Yusuf Kalla and Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto had a meeting on Thursday to discuss matters related to electronic trade or e-commerce development. Minister Hartarto stated at the office of Muhammadiyah, as Indonesia's second largest Muslim organization in Jakarta on Thursday, that Vice President Yusuf Kalla has just met with some ministers to discuss the roadmap of e-commerce. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi said in Jakarta on Thursday that the sea toll program could lower the price of staple food in eastern Indonesia. He also stated that the price will be 20-30% cheaper. Governor of Jakarta Anies Baswedan said on Thursday that Mass Rapid Transit MRT system would inculcate the habit and culture of using public transportation among the people. He hopes that MRT will be the interaction media between Jakarta residents and the surrounding areas. East Nusa Tenggara has over investment opportunities in salt and seaweed production during a trilateral meeting involving Indonesia, Australia, and Timor-Leste held in Labuan Bajo, West Manggarai District. The province hoped the two neighboring countries would be interested in investing in those marine products. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Archandra Tahar, has encouraged Norway to invest in Indonesia's new and renewable energy sector. While opening the Indonesian-Norway Energy Workshop in Jakarta on Thursday, he stated that his ministry has to work hard to increase the share of renewable energy used at affordable price, and it has set an ambitious target to provide 23% of the energy mix from renewable energy by 2025. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Dongkal Cake, a Betawi traditional food. Stay tuned. Jakarta as a metropolitan city has a myriad of activities including organizing various national and international festivals, including culinary festival. When the city of Jakarta celebrates birthday, its people can easily find a variety of typical foods and beverages of the Jakarta city and recognize as part of the culture of Jakarta, namely the culinary culture. Currently, Betawi culinary is often found only in cultural festivals. As a daily consumption, the foods are now rarely to find. The development of era became one of the reasons why the traditional culinary is no longer popular as in the past. Although there are many restaurants serve the local and traditional dishes currently, a lot of traditional foods began to extinct. One of Betawi traditional culinaries is Dongkal Cake. Nowadays, it is not easy to get the cake, which is in West Java, it is known as awuk. But in the suburbs of Jakarta, there are still some places that provide the rice-made cake, such as on Jalan Cipayung, Jembatan Serong, Cipayung District, and Depok. The Dongkal Cake is made of rice flour, sago, brown sugar, and topped with grated coconut. This cake is made in steaming process by using a cone. The making process of Dongkal Cake, firstly rice flour should be steamed in the cone until clotted. After that, added sago, then the dough is put into the cone, made of woven bamboo, and also added with sliced brown sugar. The dough is then steamed again until cooked. Once cooked, the Dongkal Cake is usually served warm on a banana leaf with a sprinkling of grated coconut on it. The Dongkal Cake is tasty and sweet because the brown sugar is lightly melted and soft textured. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Dongkal Cake, a typical food of Betawi. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Radio Service Voice of Indonesia with Mr. Lenny. Today's edition is that Ministry of Foreign Affairs launched the Safe Travel Applications. This application is one of the guidelines for citizens who are traveling abroad. Stay tuned into RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on 9525 kHz or at www.voinews.id. Listener, Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizen and Legal Entities of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, said that the idea of making this application emerged after the devastating earthquake shook Nepal in 2015. At the time, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs did not have accurate information on how many citizens were victim in Nepal. In fact, in 2018, the ministry launched the Safe Travel application in beta version and only available on Android for the purpose of getting input from users. A year after trial in 2018, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs will relaunch. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs will relaunch the latest version or full version of the Safe Travel app on April 14. This application can be downloaded via Android or iOS phone. Listener, in regard to the launch of Safe Travel, a spokesman of Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Nasir, urged that this application will be one effective tool to improve the protection of Indonesian citizens abroad. There are many benefits for Indonesian citizens with this application, including obtaining the latest information about the situation in the destination country, including the security situation and weather conditions. In addition, Safe Travel also provides information on the location of worship places, halal food restaurant, and contact addresses of Indonesian representatives abroad. With this application, Indonesian traveling overseas can identify other Indonesian fellow citizens. Listener, this app also provides panic button feature that can be used by Indonesian citizen in emergency situation overseas. The panic button will continue to connect with the Embassy of Republic of Indonesia or KBRI and the Consulate General of Republic of Indonesia KJRI to enable representative of Indonesia to find the newest location of users who are in an emergency in a bid to provide the necessary assistance. The Safe Travel application will also make it easier for Indonesians to report themselves to an Indonesian representative office in their destination country. Listener, that was Miscellany with the topic Safe Travel Application from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. We meet again on another occasion with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present the song from West Java Province. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled "Es Lilin" by Fika. Happy listening. Listener, that's the song "Es Lilin" by Fika. Sundanese songs, which are often sung with the accompaniment of music, the gong or jaipongan, have sung in various other languages, such as Malay and Javanese. The lyric of the song are about a woman who feels embarrassed when approached by a man. Although the meaning seems simple, the song "Es Lilin" as a whole contains a typical Sundanese poem. The second song from West Java that will be present is "Bubui Bulan." The song "Bubui Bulan" is often presented in various events in West Java rituals such as wedding, circumcisions, and Thanksgiving. Similar to "Es Lilin," the song "Bubui Bulan" is presented in the form of poem.
The song of Bubuy Bulan tells about the deep sense of longing because it is far from the lover. The feeling of longing is more painful when you see someone whose eyes remind the heart to the lover. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Bubuy Bulan by Desi. Happy listening. Lagu Bubuy Bulan, Desi. Listener, furthermore, we will present two songs, namely Eis and Mojang Priangan. The song Eis focuses on Eis, a name or a call from the word gelis, which in Sundanese means pretty. In the lyric of the song Eis, there is a man who was teasing and admiring the girl who was calling as Eis. However, at the end of Eis song, it is mentioned that the Eis mentioned, there is someone who begs for love, but the way is inappropriate. The song Eis is usually performed duet by man and a woman. Meanwhile, the song Mojang Priangan describes a Mojang Priangan, which means girl of Priangan or West Java girl, who is dressed up simply, but she is so beautiful and sweet. In the West Java community, the term Mojang Priangan has developed into a standard of female beauty of Priangan. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled And Mojang Priangan by Angga Prawira. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Eis kedang gerang
pihatur naon anu diseja
hayu urang kakawina kawih pandu gini api
Ku
lucu
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, Nomor 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.